to expect challenges.
Not from me. I mean, yeah,
definitely from me. It's really time to move out of the conference junkie mode into the sonship place. And we can convince ourselves that we're not ready and we're not ready and we're not ready. And I just need to go to one more conference. Oh, and look, they're teaching that. And that's what I really need to know. And all that stuff. But actually, it is time to do the stuff. And nobody is going to be able to tell you exactly how to do what you're called to do. Nobody, because they're not you. Only the Holy Spirit. What I love about the Holy Spirit is he speaks Lindy. He speaks Roz. Excellent. And so, actually, when he speaks to me, he's speaking exactly to me. He's showing me everything I need to know, how I'm going to do it, what it's going to look like. So the next time that you feel tempted to go to a conference, book up that weekend. Instead of spending your money on a conference fee, book that weekend a hotel and take... Instead of coming home with lots of books with other people's writing, take a journal and a pen and come home with a book written by you and Holy Spirit for you. Let's just try a new way of doing sonship.
What I've sort of discovered, Some by accident and some by design and some because of revelation from God and from others that have helped on the way, is that establishing government requires something foundational on the earth. And this is where, how do benches of three function governmentally? Benches of three is a sort of a term that's been bandied around for the last 5 or 6 years or so. And I believe that this is how heavenly government is outworked on the earth, and it needs to be established at that way and worked out. But again, there are many different ways of how that works. So heaven's made up of all sorts of courts, councils, assemblies, throne rooms, temple, tabernacle, all sorts of stuff, where Father, Son, and Spirit are interacting with others. They're interacting with angelic beings. There's the heavenly host. There's all the canopy of angels. They're interacting with the cloud of witnesses. They're interacting with the elders, with the four living creatures, with the seven spirits of God. There's all sorts of stuff going on there. God isn't ruling on his own without interacting with others. And of course, he wants us to be involved in that process so we can also engage with what's going on governmentally in heaven. And there are benches there, places of seats of authority. There's a bench of three, a bench of seven, there are 12, and there's elders, and all sorts of stuff. There's a council of 70. There's the sodes of God, the councils and assemblies of God. And if you look in Hebrew teaching and you look in sort of the Old Testament, you'll find it's filled with that stuff. Not necessarily that is overtly seen, because people just skip over it because it's not really taught, but it's there. It's really sort of intrinsically right in the fundamentally how God does things. He does things in councils and groups together to establish things and outwork his government. He's not there just as the sovereign I am who says, boom. Now, he'd started that way, let there be light and whatever. But now he's working with those that he's created in the assemblies and courts of heaven. So God wants us to do the same. He wants us to be like him. So he is Father, Son, and Spirit, and that's relational, and that's a relationship of love and interaction between those three. And it's wonderful to see it. I just so love being in the center of that dance and seeing Father, Son, and Spirit interacting. Because you get sort of like Jesus pointing everyone to the Father. And you say the Father sends a Spirit to point people to Jesus. And there's nothing about hierarchy or that sort of deference to things. They're just totally in relationship. One heart, one mind, one purpose, completely relational. And this is really what God wants for us, to be able to operate that way. Now, obviously, that's quite difficult for us because we have history. You know, we have baggage. We've got stuff that gets in the way all the time. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be looking to outwork it that way. So what's a bench of three? Well, the Hebrew term is a beit din. It's for a governmental, judicial council that's a reflection of heavenly government of Father, Son, and Spirit on the earth. And you can function as a bench of three in the realms of heaven together, and you can function as a bench of three on the earth together, and actually you can be on the earth and in heaven as if it's no difference. And we've got together as a bench of three quite a lot, and we just chat and talk and we just share. And it's just like, well, you don't go into heaven? Well, sometimes. But mostly we just hang out. We relate. And just doing that, heaven recognizes the authority that we have in that relationship, and stuff happens. And it's like, well, how did it happen? Well, because heaven recognized that we were together in unity and responded, and angels responded without us even sending them. Because that's the relationship of how God functions in that sort of way. And he wants us to function that way. Well, it doesn't just happen. A, you've got to spend the time to get together. But B, you've got to then be willing to work out the things that are in the way. So it is both relational and it's governmental in heaven and on earth. And sometimes we've gone into heaven together and we've seen things from each perspective. We had a great time once when it was the beginning of the year, January. I think it was back in 2013. And we thought, okay, well, what's God got for us this year? So wouldn't it be great if we went into heaven and actually we each got something for each other? So we went into heaven and we saw a scroll for each other and we shared what we saw. I mean, that scroll set us on a 5-year journey here that Lindy saw for me and for us. Because it was all about reestablishing government, doing things from a totally different perspective. You know, it was a powerful thing. But we just stepped in together and we interacted. Now, sometimes we just are like that on earth. We're just in a room, chatting, sharing, and all of a sudden, inspiration, authority starts to move. Things we say start to happen. So it's not sort of so much as a governmental meeting as a hanging out and a relating. Now, we do get together to sort of, well, we need to do some things. What are we going to do? But it's pretty much sort of, it just sort of flows, doesn't it? It's not like it's sort of, it's hard. It's just like, well, what are we going to do for this weekend? Well, that's it then. I mean, that's how it works. It's really, it's not hard. It's not complicated because we're able to flow together. And that's, I think, how God works it. Now, in the time of sort of the New Testament and in the early days, it's like the Old Testament kahal or the synagogue or the New Testament ecclesia, the house of God, they needed 10 to form around a blueprint. They were given a mandate to establish something, a blueprint, and you needed 10 to form it. That was the foundation. So there was a 3 and there was a 7. So that's where some of these things come from. Now, in the New Testament, you don't see it specifically written that way, because actually they weren't specifically writing details. They just did. And so we sort of think, well, I wish they'd been a bit more specific. Well, if they did, then we would try and do it our own way, taking what they did. It's got to be relational. So it works out that benches of three are different depending on every blueprint and the people who are in them. Because we're there in a role that enables heaven to begin to flow together to see authority manifested in the earth. So you had this sort of foundational bench of three, not hierarchical in the way in which it's been seen. And you have also a bench of 7 with an ecclesia type thing. Now, I think really everything is ecclesias, really, because I think Jesus said, well, I'm going to build my ecclesia. And Paul said the manifest wisdom of God is going to be made known for the ecclesia. But we have, and I don't use church, because as soon as you say church, you've already got a picture of what that isn't. In reality, you'll think it's this. And even if I say ecclesia, you may well have the same thing. It's this. And therefore, we will have a picture of, well, we're going to meet on a Sunday and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And that might be what that ecclesia is called to do. Another group of people who are gathered around a blueprint, which is what an ecclesia is, will do something totally different. Like what we do and what Lindy does are totally different from that sort of perspective. But then we do things which are very similar within what we do. Because it isn't about a fixed formula. It's about being flexible and fluid to outwork the blueprint. I mean, we could have a blueprint for a car, because a blueprint is like a diagram or a plan. So let's say it's a car and we're going to build a car. Okay, well, what sort of car? What color is it going to be? What shape is it? What's its purpose? Because if you're going to build a Mini and you need a people carrier, then you're not going to be very successful in carrying lots of people unless you squeeze them in. So, you know, everything is different, but it's still a car. But the purpose and the shape and the form will be very different according to what the plan is for that car. And so everything that God inspires us has a particular shape that he wants us to build. And although we might call it the same thing, it might look totally different. And actually, that's exactly what it should be like. So when we come to do these things, you know, a basic an ecclesia, if you're going to do it this way, has people who are involved. That's the thing. And the foundation of that really is the bench of three. So over the years, we've had this sort of battle. Yeah, come.
So you talked earlier about you've got a bench of three and you've got a bench of three. You're also in another bench of three. So you're on several benches of three.
Oh, yeah. I'm on loads. Because they are different spheres of government. So within our ecclesia here, we have a bench of three, which is the foundational government. Then we have other spheres of authority, which also are benches. So I am part of a Freedom Apostolic Resources bench that delivers Engaging God program and conferences and different things. So that's within our overall blueprint. It's part of it. But there's that government functions within it and is released by the foundation government to govern. So as a bench of three, and you sort of, you know, because we wear several hats, yeah, and it's like what I'm doing in my position of government as part of Freedom Apostolic Resources Mountain is not my role as the bench of three as a foundation. I have no more authority in that bench than the others do, just because I happen to be in another position as well. So they can get complicated when you've got all sorts of things you're doing and not enough people to do it. So ultimately, we need more people is the answer. But bottom line is you have to do what you do until things grow and develop. So it's flexible. And, you know, we'll share some of our stories in terms of how that works. But what I found is you have this pastoral, earthly way of doing things, which may be a pastor or a prophet or an apostle, whatever their title, newest, latest fangled name. And that really has been in opposition to what true heavenly government is. And there's been this tension, because the earthly is a sort of covering, but a heavenly is a foundation. And therefore, who rules and how are you going to do it? How is things going to be governed? And you have all sorts of governmental systems out there, from the sort of ecclesia, all the different ecclesiastical ways of doing it, from bishops and elders and all sorts of different ones. Depending on whatever stream you're in, we'll have things, leadership, teams, all sorts of stuff. But ultimately, I think I've seen that, and I think God wants it to be done from a foundational perspective, not a hierarchical, going back to the old covenant, really, where Moses represented the people before God. It's like you can all engage God yourself. And the bench of three's role is to help people engage God for themselves, not engage God for them. Now, we engage God for ourselves because we need to engage personally and corporately, but we encourage everyone else to engage God rather than, well, the people at the top engage God and then they tell us what God's saying. You know, it's that everyone needs to be able to hear God for themselves. So in the old, you had heavenly blueprints, shadow on the earth, and we built over it and then stuck someone on top of it. That's how it works. And it still works in the majority of places. And it's a restriction. It's a restriction of people, and it stops people hearing God for themselves generally. And we need to move away from that to that structure where we're engaging heaven in agreement, bringing heaven and earth, and then having a foundation. And that's where the bench sits, at the foundation. For whatever it is you're doing, have a foundation which actually is enable everything to engage God without any covering over it. God's my covering. I don't need anybody else to cover me. But that doesn't mean that we're not accountable or in relationship with one another or that we're not outworking this together. We are, but we're doing it in a different way. So essentially the bench of three, whatever you want to call it, people call it different things, is providing sort of the apostolic strategic direction, the governmental foundations. Because if you've got a blueprint, the blueprint really determines actually what you're going to do or not do. So if we have a blueprint that says, do something in Devon, then we're not going to do something in Africa. But if we've got a blueprint that says, do something in the world or the universe, well, then we're pretty free to do anything anywhere. You know. But you need to know that. Because it's no point doing something in Africa if your blueprint says the UK or anywhere else, because you'll be outside of the remit. So the bench of three makes sure that we're within the remit and that that remit is obviously growing and expanding and increasing to fulfill whatever God it is. So generally, you know, we've engaged for heavenly blueprints. We've brought those things out of heaven, you know, along the way. I mean, it's taken sometimes interesting time. I mean, God told us to do something. It was probably back in 2013. It was like, release a sound into the region. Release this sound so that people will connect with this sound. So we did. We thought, how do we do that? So, well, let's go into heaven and let's release a sound. So we went into heaven and we said some things and we released a sound. Then we're like, oh, what are we supposed to do now? No idea. We just done what he said, release a sound. So for 18 months... we went through all different things. You went through a series of things. We were involved in, and we did nothing about that sound. But it's out there, and it's resonating. And then 2 years later, God says, now call the sound in. So, oh, where do we do that? Well, connect with anybody you know that will respond, who's responded to that sound, perhaps. So well, okay, well, how many people is that going to be? So together, 60. So why 60? Because God sent 60. That was it. So then we connected 2 years later, and 60 people come together who are hearing that sound. If we tried to call in that sound 2 years before, we might have had two or three people. It was probably us. You know, but the sound was out there at work all that time, resonating in the spiritual atmosphere, connecting with people. I mean, God said to me about 4 years ago, release a blue light. And I'm sort of like, okay. And do you know what I did? I was in heaven, I was on my throne, and I said, I release a blue light. That was it. Well, what else are you supposed to do when God says release a blue light? I have no idea. It was just like, I release a blue light, and I sent this blue light go out. Two weeks later, a friend of mine who was a local vicar in the Anglican church here in Barnesville, we were in a meeting, and afterwards we were walking, he says, do you know anything about blue lights? And I said, I don't know, what about it? He said, well, I've had these blue lights dancing around me for the last 2 weeks. So I said, well, have you got any time tomorrow? Yeah. So I said, look, this is a call. This blue light was a call for people to come into government around the world. Now, I've had numerous testimonies of people connecting with blue lights. Blue lights following their car at night. Blue lights coming into the room. And it was just like, now, to know that actually someone did respond to the blue light was a little kiss from God who just said, look, you weren't just saying empty words, but actually just saying those words connected with people all over the world. From New Zealand at one end and right up the other end of the United States. And people are still contacting me saying, do you know anything about blue lights? So sometimes these things are not complicated. We can overcomplicate it. And one day I would have done. I would have said, well, what frequency of light does it need to be? And I, you know, how do I send it out? And what pulse do I need to send it out on? I mean, but I got beyond that. And it was just like, okay, I release a blue light. That blue light is still out there. The sound that we released is still out there because it's in the spiritual atmosphere. And then you then begin to connect it. You connect the dots. Because then it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do now that we're calling back this sound? Well, we better gather people. And we hadn't done any, we'd done nothing. People didn't even know we existed in doing this stuff because we weren't out there shouting, we're the regional bench of three, because there's probably hundreds of regional benches of three, but we're one of them. And actually what we did then is, okay, we then, what have we mandated now to do? So we had to clarify our mandate because we knew that we were called, but then, well, okay, well, what for? So we did. We clarified the mandate and we said, well, this is the stuff we're called for. So, okay, well, let's start to get together to talk about heavenly government. So we then put on some events called Beyond the Veil, which were, let's beyond the veil. And we put it out there in a fairly cryptic way. Sort of anyone interested in supernatural, sort of heavenly government, let's get together and let's see what we can do. And we've done a number of those things. And then we did some more things, just step by step, doing whatever God showed us along the way. Because we were together and we had a mandate and we had government, that then things respond to government. So this is some of the stuff we've done. So when you have a mandate and a blueprint, what then was the question you asked earlier? Well, you establish government around it. So, well, I don't know what it is. How can I establish government around it? Well, the same way as you do anything else. You say to God, okay, A, I submit this to you and you've got to do this because it's like, I can't make anything happen, but actually give me a strategy. What am I supposed to do? Right, I'm going to call people to come together for this scroll. Yeah, but they don't know what it is. Okay, well, let's get some more clarity about what it is. And there's a process of development in things, but you can start where you are. And if you release a sound that calls government together, then that sound will be out there. That light will be out there. Whatever you do, whatever declaration you make, in the spiritual realm, it is there. And people have an opportunity of connecting to it and resonating with it. Because you're not necessarily doing anything which is, well, here's the vision, I'm writing it all out yet. But you will get to a point, and we hope by the end of this weekend, you'll have more clarity about what that is. And particularly tomorrow's sessions are all about getting it down and actually seeing what it looks like and being able to actually physically begin to do something. But you've got to spiritually connect to it before then you physically start doing something. So, you know, how do you establish that? Well, things don't always work out ideally in this world. And therefore, it doesn't always think that you got three people who come together supernaturally, miraculously brought together with God, and you start to do something. Now, you know, the way we've done things, it's been a bit sort of that way. But that doesn't mean that it has to be that way. So what if they're not three people? You know, that's the thing. Okay, can you have a bench of three that's not three? Well, start with what you got, is what I would suggest. And if you like, start with one person. One person gets a vision from God. Now, one person can be a lone ranger and keep that vision to themselves and try everything to work that out on their own. And a lot of people do that. But at that point, if you're in agreement with God, you have something that can be manifested because you've got an arc of agreement between you and God. Here's God's vision. He gives it to you and you say, yes. So all of a sudden, you've got the opportunity for something to begin to go further. And God can give that one person a blueprint. He can give that one person the inklings of a blueprint, or even just the, you have a mandate to get a blueprint in the future. And now I want you to agree with that. So you start to that, and then you'll find in the spiritual atmosphere, something is then tangibly resonating there, coming into agreement. You may have God's governance to start with. We have benches that have got angels and one of the cloud witnesses on, because we haven't got three people yet. So God is at work helping us. Now, that's not the permanent solution, because I think you do need three people if you're going to do something on earth. But God is not wanting to limit things. He wants to get things moving. So you might have two people who are in agreement, and then God's in agreement with you, then you've got three until you get that third person. You may have three people in agreement. I've worked with people who started off with three or four people, and they started to seek God together, and God started to release a blueprint, and then it was like, okay, what do we do now? It's four of us. Oh, well, it's four. Can you have a bench of three or four? Well, I don't know. Let's engage heaven and see what God says. So we did. Three of them felt called to a bench, and the fourth felt that they were connected in another way. So there's no, like, rules of engagement in this stuff. You've got to just work it out relationally with one another and with God. And God may take you down a road that no one else has been. And we have been on our roads differently, you know, in a sense. Because when we first started talking about Bench of Three, we were in a room and we were chatting, and I started talking about Bench of Three tonight. So I was, well, I've got this stuff that we're looking at. And that was it. We were looking at it, you know. And we had three in a leadership group by accident. And it was like, So when I think Ian Clayton came here in 2011 and started to teach about the baked in and the Bench of Three, and we were like, oh, that resonates. Because we're sort of at that point. We've got a three and we've got a leadership team. That seems to make sense. Then we tried doing it. It was hard. So hard, you know, because no one knew how to do it. It wasn't like you could go out there and sort of pick off the manual off the shelf in the book Christian bookshop and find out how to do it. You couldn't find it. So we thought, great, we're going to go for this. So we established a bench of three. The two of those bench of three deferred to me all the time. And I'm like, I was so frustrated for a whole year. Because every time we got together, well, you can hear God better than us. So, yeah, but that's not a bench of three. We've got to hear to God together. This is together. I'm not being the person who is making all the decisions. The point is we're a three. So after a year, it was just like, this is when, after that year, Lindy basically gave this scroll of, God wants you to reform all your governments because basically he needs to do it on a new thing. So I was like, oh, okay. So a year later, Ian Clayton comes back in 2012. So we sit him down and it's like, okay, give us some help about how these things are supposed to work. You know, and he said, you're on your own. So he said, he said, I don't know anyone else who's doing it. And it's like, we tried it, not working. So it's like, oh, thanks. But actually, you've got to work it out on your own. In reality, because you've got to work it out, because you're different from every other group of people. And what your blueprint is will be different. So it's got to be relationally worked out. So then I took this mandate that we got together when we were meeting regionally. And I'm saying, okay, look, here's a mandate. We've got a mandate to remove all the barriers between what we're doing. We've got a mandate to reestablish government. So I said, you know, we're in a meeting. And so I said, okay, who wants to resign? These people's hands up like this. It's just like, you know. And it was, I mean, for me, it was just like, if I believed in hell, it would be hell on earth. It was terrible for that year. Because my wife was one of the other two of the bench. Oh, it's like disaster. It was a total disaster. Because it was like, oh, so I was so frustrated. So then I thought, okay. So I said, so who wants to relax? So then I said, well, who feels called into this? And it was like these two little hands went up. Nigel was one of the back there. You still little hands went up. But I was like, oh, praise God. Someone's put their hand up. But I mean, I had already seen in the spirit who they were, but I wasn't going to say. I wanted people to respond. So it was like, okay, well, what are we going to do now? Not what we did before, that's for sure. So the other two were like, well, yeah, we feel called, but I don't think we're going to do it. So it's like, okay, well, let's just work it out. So for months, really, we got everything out on the table. It's like, well, what are the hindrances here relationally? What are the trust issues? What are the things we need to talk about with each other? Let's get it all out. Because I'm not going to go through another year of misery. So it's like, let's get this stuff out. Let's be honest. Let's be real. Let's be transparent. Let's honor each other. Let's get to know each other in these roles. So after a few months, it was like, okay, yeah, I really feel now we can say yes to this. So we go into heaven. We get invested onto a bench, a mountain, and God gives us weapons and he gives us stuff. And we've been working at it ever since, you know, but we don't do anything unless we're in agreement. We receive things totally differently. from each other, which is great because I don't have to receive everything for everybody, which is what it was like before. I want to be me. I don't want to be someone else. So we have all these different perspectives. Now, we're still working it out. We still have frustration. Sometimes it's just like, God, where are we? How do we do this? It's just like, sometimes it's hard. And then you're working with other people, you can imagine it's even harder because then you get all their stuff. But it's worth sticking at it because I believe this is what is going to manifest heaven on earth. I don't think God is going to do it in old structures. We need a new wineskin. We need the wineskin, which is actually the way heaven functions. That's what we need to be finding. But it takes time. It takes effort. It takes diligence. You have to work through the relationship stuff that comes up. Because when you're put into this place, you've got to learn to honor each other. To receive. You know, Jesus said, look, if you honor somebody in the name, then you receive from them. And that's what, you know, we've looked to find. And we do a lot of just sitting around, chatting, looking at things. And it's just like that is being in heaven. Sometimes we'll step into heaven. You know, well, we need to see this. I mean, sometimes it's just, oh, what are we supposed to do? Don't know. Well, let's go and find out then. And then you hope you all get the same thing. No, virtually, I don't think we've never not had the same thing, ever. In any time we've ever stepped in to find a solution to something, we've always got the same thing. Other than once, where I didn't think I was even able to get the right thing. So I said, look, you need to get something here, because I'm just not. Because I was being attacked in a situation, and I didn't feel I could be objective. So I said, well, okay, you get a solution. And they came back with a solution, and it was like, it wouldn't be what I did, would have done. Absolutely not. Because I would have said, biblically, we can do this. And they came back with a totally different solution. And it was just like, great, let's do that. You know, it was totally successful. You know, because we did what heaven revealed. You know, and sometimes it's like these things are, they're real things you got to work through. They're real frustrations because no one can give you the answers to any of this stuff. You've got to work it out. You know, I mean, I don't know how your bench works, but it's like, ours, you know, we get together every week, you know, and we look to come together, look sometimes the bigger picture, what's God saying, what's God doing, well, how's the blueprint doing, you know, how's all these things that we've got, which are niggles and frustrations and things, what's going on spiritually, what's happening in the spiritual atmosphere? You know, we want to see, we want to ask, find out, find sort of the direction for where we were going with things, basically just receive from each other, because we're different gifts redemptively as well, which is helpful. You know, so I don't have to try and be a ruler when you've got someone else who's got a ruler gift. I can just be me. You know, so start with where you're at is the thing, but always look towards establishing that foundation, that government, and then you'll see how it works. So these things form in different ways. You know, it's great when you've got three people who are seeking God and something happens. That'd be awesome. And I've done that with some people around the world, and they have now established things which are functioning because they sought God in the beginning and God gave them the strategy and the blueprint, and awesome. But it doesn't always work out as simply as that. Sometimes you just got to start where you are, but have a goal. Don't want to do something on your own. Yeah, because ultimately, it's much easier when you've got two other people to work with you and you've got God in the midst of that, multiplying everything and increasing everything. So, you know, I don't know if you want to share how your thing formed or started or works.
Yeah, so so our bench of three isn't the original bench of three. Because they were sort of talking about benches of three, which was really exciting. I didn't know it was called a bench of three, but he was talking to me about the relational government of heaven and how there's no hierarchical structure and, you know, how heaven functions governmentally. Okay. And at that point in time, there were three of us that were kind of trustees, directors. So I'm like, okay. And I'd already then established through lots of trial and error, that your spiritual government and your legal government must be the same if you're wanting any kind of cohesion in what you're doing. Otherwise, there's an instant doorway for stress and tension in the spirit. So that was great. We've been through a challenging time of eradicating the stress and the challenges. So there were now three of us and we were working well. And then one died and the other one's wife died. And that was the end of my Benjamin three. the Lord has now established a new bench of three with us. We've been running for about 2 years. And it is just the most amazing place to be with the three of us. We have a relationship that is just awesome. Would I have chosen to be in a bench of three with either of those people? Probably not. Just because we're very different people. However, having worked through our issues, there is such a richness and there's such a depth of relationship when you work through stuff. But how we work is we defer. So just because of the nature of how much we carry and what we have on our plates at any given day, we can't always stop and go, oh, this is actually a bench decision. Let Nams wait until we have a bench. So we defer to each other. So we carry different parts of the ministry. When we come together, we agree the blueprint. We agree how, the direction that we're going, but we don't try and micromanage each other. Okay? So in the area that the other two defer to me, I have absolute autonomy and authority. So if I go into a meeting, so for instance, I do all the negotiations, I do all the public press stuff, I do all, there are things that are on my plate that are my responsibility. So just recently, there's been a lot of stuff happening to do with the lease of one of the buildings and other developments and different things. So when those emails come through, I step into heaven, I see what the Father is saying for us, and I do that thing. And I know absolutely that I have the backing and support of my bench because they've already deferred that to me. So Kay, for instance, is in the process of project managing the refurb for the drop-in. So she's got a budget and she gets on with it. She steps into heaven, she sees what the Father is saying and she does it, and then she reports back into... Now, what does happen is that sometimes somebody will do something a little bit differently to how you might have done it. And actually, what is so amazing about the Father is that it doesn't matter if we deal with our stuff. If we don't, so you've done it differently to how I would have done it. But at the end of the day, you are different to me. And I want to honor you to do it as differently as you are so that you can be you, and I'm not trying to make you me. Because that's where all the stress and the tension and all that stuff comes in. And actually, we're wanting to empower each other, not to kind of close each other down and require. Do you know what I mean? So actually, if we can run a bench of three that is empowering, not only are we empowering each other within the bench, we're actually empowering everything that the Father does within that environment, because we're creating an environment of empowerment. Not because we've come together and we have talked about it and said, oh, wouldn't it be nice to empower? But because actually we live empowerment. Okay. And probably what I will touch on when I do the session on opening and closing doors is our part in that, and how we behave and how we live actually impacts things. So it's not just about a governmental structure. It's not just about seeing in the spirit and stepping into heaven and legislating. That is step one. We have a part to play that will determine how that outworks, whether that outworks in the fullness of what the Father had planned, or whether that outworks in just a piece, because we're so busy getting in the way of everything. Do you understand? So one of the biggest issues that we have in this season is moving out of this mindset that says, if I understand something, I've got it. So you can understand how cancer can be cured. It doesn't mean that your cancer's cured. Okay? And in order for us to actually live the reality of what he has for us, we have to do exactly that. We have to live it. Not just talk about it or understand it or be able to explain it to somebody else. It's not. It can't be a theology anymore. It has to be the reality. And we create that reality with how we behave. So we create an empowering environment within the ministry by empowering each other as a bench of three, or whatever else we choose to do. We create an honoring culture within the ministry by honoring each other as a bench of three. Do you understand? So we're really passionate about making sure that what we want to see functioning within the ministry, we as three create that within that bench. We legislate for it. So time is no constraint is one of the things we've legislated in the spirit. And so we had to make the choice then to step out of time being a constraint. And so what we did was we gave each other permission to challenge every thought or mindset or word that contravened that law. Okay? Because I can legislate there, but then with my own words, I can pull away the power of that legislation, because our words are creative. So you can legislate something there, but you have to live it here. Okay. And it only took probably 3 or 4 months of really being hot on that and checking our own mindsets. And, you know, when you're putting things in the diary, not thinking, how on earth are we going to do, you know, all of that stuff. If the Father wants it, the Father gets it. And now we live in that place where time is no constraint. We don't even think about time anymore, because we live outside of time. And so we're living in the manifestation of the legislation, but because we embodied that too. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
How did you get three people to do the same? How did you get to that place where three people have the same kind of mindset?
Okay, so it didn't happen overnight. And so the ministry's been going since 2007. Okay, so I've been working relationally with people since 2007. Okay. So what I could do is I could tell you the story, or I could just say to you, this is what it's going to cost you. Is that an easier way? Okay, so this is what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you dying to yourself.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you surrendering your own dreams and ambitions. It's going to cost you every bit of pride and arrogance and all of that stuff. It's going to cost you betrayal. It's going to cost you to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Because that is the university of the Holy Spirit. You can't buy authority or discernment or wisdom, or you can't buy those things. You walk through a trial. That's why the Bible tells us count it all joy. Because actually there is so much treasure in the trial. The problem is everyone is so busy woeing, woe is me because of the trial. They don't get to see. They don't want to walk through it. Walk through, embrace the trial, walk through the trial, come out the other side, get your crown. Because your crown comes, the authority comes, the promotion comes. That's how the kingdom works. So it will cost us everything. I don't know a single leader in this realm who hasn't faced huge betrayal. It's probably one of the key things that the enemy uses. And it's one of the key things that the Father uses. Because betrayal gets you to rely on Him. So betrayal means I did something for you and I expected something back and you disappointed me. See, already that's a trap. Because if I'm doing something for you, you can betray me. But the Bible says, do everything as unto the Lord. So when I'm doing that, you can do what you like. You can't betray me. I didn't do it for you. Do you see? It's just a whole new mindset that we have to move into that enables us to govern with the authority of heaven. Because until we are mature, lacking nothing, He is not going to give us the authority of sonship. It would be like giving a loaded revolver to your two-year-old in a crowded place. There'd be carnage. So, you know, does that answer your question?
Okay. I mean, obviously, every situation will be different depending on where you start. You know, there's a huge difference between someone having a vision for something and other people connecting to that, and then you begin to establish something, then you already have something established, which you transition into something. So, you know, we've been around since 1994, so we already had something existing. We already had ministries that we had. We had several charities that we had already established. And then God brings us into this. And then we're like, how do you manage this? We've got three different legal organizations. We've got three different entities all working together. In fact, there was four at the time. And then we felt that is outside of our blueprint. So we're going to give that one away. So we gave a whole charity away because it was outside of the blueprint when we actually looked at what the blueprint was. And so we, you know, have been in a slightly different process, but got to the same place in the end. So we have a bench of three, but we also have a bench of seven. So we empower the bench of seven to do a whole load of stuff. So they are actually looking after the environment of our ecclesia. And then we have a bench of 12 who are representative of all the different authorities and areas we've got. So we started off with, you know, one thing, you know, that has sort of developed and developed. And then we got to a point where God was like, now you need to actually see this from a heavenly perspective because you've stumbled upon all this sort of following the bits of prophetic revelation that you've received. But now I want you to put this together. So we formed a blueprint out of all the things that God had shown us and where we were. And then that sort of evolved. So our bench of seven work with the general day-to-day things. And as a bench of three, we empower them. Now, sometimes they frustrate us. because sometimes they're operating in a pastoral way rather than a heavenly governmental way. But they're learning to be more governmental in that role. But we have to empower them to do it their way through who they are. Otherwise, we'd be controlling them. So we have to be careful about frustration, not to be, well, you're not doing it the way we would have done it. Well, that's the point. They're not. But we need to support them. So you have to give enough support and encouragement. And there's a balance between how much support and encouragement you give and how much rigidity there is to that. And we've sort of treaded on the wrong side of that line different times. You know, so it's a process, and you've got to work through that. Because people are involved, we're all on a journey of transformation, so you're going to have to work through the realities. Ultimately, it comes down to a trust issue. Do we trust one another? And if you trust one another, then you're going to respect and honor each other. And that's a choice as much as something which is, well, I'm going to wait until I can trust you. I'm going to choose to trust you, and if things go astray, then we'll sort them out. You know, so you've got to work that out practically. So each of our spheres of government has a bench, which we have to empower them to go and get their own blueprint for that area. See, if as a bench of three, we try to get the whole thing all sorted and then try to get people to fill those positions, they would be filling a position which gave them no room to be themselves. So God showed us all these things, and then we, again, cried out to heaven and released a sound. God filled these positions with people, and it took ages. You know, I saw our mountains in 2011. It was 2015 when we all sort of got people on benches and stuff, because you have to wait until people are responding from God, not because you told them to. So we have this thing, all right, who we're appointing you and appointing you and appointing you. It just didn't work that way. You've got to see people respond in the spirit to the sound, to the frequency, the resonance that's out there. And then you get people to begin to then actually be themselves in that role. You know, so this, it does grow and it does develop if you're willing to actually pay the cost. And there is a cost. You know, there is a cost relationally, there is a cost that you've got to be willing to pay. Now, when we first started to get together, I mean, you sort of got the ball rolling, didn't you? You want to share how we got together?
Well, we were at a meeting one day. It was a Southwest Leaders Day. And the Lord just said to me, you need to connect with that guy. I didn't really know. I think I'd seen him once before.
Yeah.
So I just went over and I said, we need to connect. And then I shared what I had seen. So the Lord gave me a vision, which I didn't understand. And I saw these fires all around the region. And I saw the smoke going up and creating a canopy over the top. And he said, I want you to create a canopy over a region. Well, I mean, I didn't even know what that meant, but I knew that I was going to be working with Mike. So I went and said to him,
because I'd seen a similar vision of pockets of fire, but I saw a canopy of fire, but it was basically the same thing. I didn't know what it meant either. And I don't think we would have known what it meant until we actually connected.
But I want to tell you something around that, because the Lord had been talking to me about not being too big for my boots. And so this was in the days when actually I didn't understand my heavenly authority at all. But actually, I still thought I was, you know, bring it on. Bring it on. I don't know. I don't even care who you are. You bring it on, I'll fight that battle, you know. And anyway, so the Lord was kind of knocking me down a peg or two, as he does. And he said to me, you know you're not my first choice. So I'm like, I'm not your first choice. What do you mean? So, what do you mean I'm not your first choice? Oh, surely I'm your second choice. No, you're not my second choice. So I was like brooding over this. And I was thinking, I'm not even sure if I'm sure that wasn't even the Lord, because I'm sure he wouldn't say things like that. That just doesn't sound like him at all. And when I met with Mike, he said to me, oh, yeah, actually, 2 years ago, I went down to your neck of the woods to meet with somebody because I'd seen this, and I thought I knew who it was, who was going to be doing this. And I went to meet with this, was a lady, went to meet with this lady, and she wasn't interested. And the Lord said to me, you wait, I'll bring the person. So when I came and said, oi, we're going to work together, he was like, oh, it's you. But actually, what the Lord showed me through that was confirmation that I wasn't his first choice. He had offered it to somebody else. You know, I don't know how many people he offered it to before they said yes. But of course, I already understood that I have to be dead for my destiny. Yeah? So actually, if I'm already dead, it's not going to cost me any more to have what you don't want. So I just say to the Lord, anybody who doesn't want what you have on offer for them, yeah, me, I'm so up for it. Because actually, if we're going to be world changers, that's where we have to start. We have to understand it's going to cost us everything, but we're going to get everything.
Yeah, I'm often not first choice with things, but I get to do them anyway, because I'm available as well. But yeah, I remember in 2010 when I sort of ended up engaging heaven and first really sort of learning about a lot of these things. You know, I made connection with people down in that area and shared with them. And you know, the reason they didn't respond was because they were under a covering and their covering wouldn't let them respond. And so then God hooked us up and we began to get together. And it was just, that was all it was, wasn't it? We just got together regularly, just chatted, came together. And there were three of us, one of the other guys at the time. And then we hit some issues of theology. Now, we didn't particularly have an issue of theology, but the other guy did, or he was working through some stuff. And we were like, oh, I don't get this. So we took about a year going through with this guy to try and come to a point where we were in agreement and in disagreement. Because actually, it's not about whether you've got every I dotted and every T crossed. It's about whether you've got relationship with one another. And so you're never going to believe what someone else believes 100%. Because otherwise they'd have to be you. You know, and they're not. So you've got to work through, well, what matters and what doesn't matter? Well, what matters is that you're called for a heavenly purpose. And there's a whole lot of peripheral stuff that's irrelevant to that, which you've got to get over. Because if you're going to argue and fight for who's right, you will never form a foundational government. Because it isn't about who's right, it's about coming into agreement with who God, who's always right. You know, and therefore we've worked through that, and we worked through it, and that guy is no longer part of this bench of three. And I think it was because actually God had placed him there to help us work through the issues. Because he was never really very governmental.
We wondered, but
actually it was part of God's purpose. So it would help us learn to work through issues. Because you do have to do that. And we were able to do it. And it took, but we had to take some diligent time to do it and really work through it and ask questions and find out the heart behind it. And it's just like, and actually, a lot of what that guy was working through at the time, I'm totally in agreement with now. And I was totally not in agreement with then. because he was way ahead of me on that journey. But actually, it was a really positive thing, because if I had come out against what he was doing, I would not be where I am now. So you've got to be able to continue to be open and not closed and not rigid. Because if I know a fraction of what there is to know, then there's so much more that I do not know now. And if I'm going to be rigid enough to say, well, I know what I know, then I'm not going to be open to more. And there's always more to come. So we've, you know, worked through this. And then we got this guy basically sort of said, well, I don't think really that I'm called to be part of this anymore. So we were like, okay, that's fine, no problem. Okay, what do we do now? Well, we carry on meeting. And, you know, I don't know what Lindy was doing, but I'm like sending a sand out there. Who else is there out there? You know, so I'm just sending a sand. Well, one day Lindy says, I met this guy. And so I really feel that this guy should be part of the bench. So I'm like, well, who is he? It's just like, well, of course I know him, you know, and, you know, so it was just like, oh yeah, let's talk to him. So we talked to him, and it was just like, well, okay, this is what it, I mean, Lindy's really sort of, you know, in your face sometimes. So it's just like,
you can't believe that.
You know, I'm sort of a little bit more laid back, you know, I can sort of be really laid back at times. You know, so. But we sort of, okay, well, what does this mean? You know, because if you feel called, this means government, we got to, you know, but we did. And, you know, we worked together since that point. And not without frustrations at times, because you're going to get them, you know, and each of us has our own things that we're also involved with. Because our mandate is not to do something regionally, which is going to be a physical location, which we're all going to set up together. That's not what our mandate is. Our mandate is something much more helping other people to do that, which is why we're doing this today. Because we're here to help other people do things that we're not going to do. Because we are doing what we do. And each of the three of us, actually, Jonathan will be here tomorrow, but each of the three of us do things very differently, but also very similarly. But we're actually here governmentally as a bench. Our bench of three has no authority over what any of us does individually, because it doesn't work that way, because we're not here to have authority over. But actually, our bench of three regionally helps what we do locally all the time, because it provides an environment of blessing so that we can prosper and you can prosper. Jonathan can prosper and everyone here can prosper, because that's actually what we're called to do. And we've got a bench of government to help us fulfill that blessing, the mandate to help people prosper. So, you know, there's a lot really that gets outworked in this. And ultimately, if you are going to operate in agreement, sometimes your agreement is we agree to disagree, in a sense of all sorts of things. But locally, our agreement is always unanimous, because we are actually working together for a blueprint that we're all carrying in our hearts. So we never do anything when we're not in agreement, but our working that agreement out is probably slightly different than how Lindy works it out, because of the way we work differently. But the foundation is exactly the same. We trust, we honor each other, we receive from each other, and we are able to be ourselves in that position of government. But it does go a lot further. So who can be part of a bench of three? You know, I get asked these questions all the time, so I pulled together a few of the questions I've been asked. Who can be part of a bench of three? Well, anyone who God calls is the bottom line, and who's willing to actually serve. Because a governmental position is a serving position. We are here to serve what God has called us to do, to serve him in it, and to serve other people through it. We're not here to lord it over people. So we're here to serve and empower and release and encourage and support, but primarily to serve. And anyone who's got a desire to serve can be part of a bench of three if there's a blueprint. You can't just set up a bench of three because you fancy doing so. And people are doing that around. I mean, I come across them all the time, and they're running into all sorts of problems because they've picked up this bench of three thing, and then, right, we're going to be a bench for, I don't know, let's say Plymouth or Exeter or St. Ives or whatever. It's just like, you can't just do that because you think you can. Even if you live there, doesn't mean that you have authority to do that. It's got to be a call from God. You know, you've got to hear God's call and respond to it. And you might look at Devon and think, oh, look at all the stuff that's going on, or Cornwall, or Somerset, or Dorset, and look at all these things, and it's just like, yeah, I really feel stirred. That isn't enough. You've got to be called. And once you've got the call and you accept the call, then the authority comes with that mandate, and whatever that blueprint is, then you can begin to establish it. And a lot of people are sort of jumping on the bandwagon of the latest thing. So we're going to be a bench. And I sort of say, well, okay, well, what are you called to do? Well, I don't know. Well, we're a bench. I say, but for what? Well, I don't know. Well, you're not a bench. You're just three people who are calling yourself a bench. You're not actually a bench if you don't have a mandate from God to be a bench for something particularly. Now, that can be an earthly expression. It can be a heavenly expression. You know, our bench really is a heavenly thing. You know, because we're not physically actually doing something physical, but we are empowering from heaven other people to do something physical. That's our goal. Other things will be to establish something physically or to help others in a city or, like, you know, we want benches of three in Cornwall, in Devon, in Somerset, in Gloucester and Avon, and in every city and every, because that's God's desire. And there may be 50 benches of three in Exeter or Plymouth. And you might not know any of the rest of them. And it makes no difference whatsoever. Because they'll be doing what God's called them to do, and you'll be doing what God's called you to do. And you may interact, or you may not. And it doesn't matter, because you're not comparing yourself with anybody else. Because I know some people say, well, we are the bench of three for New York. There's some people I connected with. It's like, we're the bench of three for New York. I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, you know, well, how many others are in New York? No, we're the bench of three for New York. And I just laughed. And I said, well, I think you might find that God has a few more other things that he's doing in New York than just you. Because it's not about we are this position. If you want a position, then you're going to have to work that through. Definitely. You know. So essentially, you know, being willing to pursue and work it through is what's important. You know, and there is a mutual submission about it. One of the things that I found that where people were trying to do was turn an old form of government with a new name. So they would have a senior leader in a bench of three. And it was nothing more than what they were before. Everyone was deferring to that one person because that one person was the senior leader and they were just leaders. That isn't a bench of three. There is no senior God. He's just God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, you might think, well, the Father, well, Jesus was on earth. He, of course, deferred to the Father in one sense, but the Father also deferred to him. Mm-hmm. There was this total relationship of mutual submission, a culture of honor, openness, honesty, transparency, willingness to work through whatever it takes to work through. That's really what it needs if you want to be a bench. But you may not start there. The journey will take you to the place where that will actually be out working. I'm willing to release the destinies of others. That is so important in this. You know, we've got to be willing to release the destiny of others. It's not about us as a bench. It's about what we're empowered to do and encourage. And in a sense, it's like you've got to be willing to be stepped on if you're a foundation. Foundations are what get built on. It's just like you have to carry some weight sometimes and responsibility, but it's not a heavy burden because Jesus's yoke is easy, his burden's light. Because we're doing this with him, we're not doing it independently. But sometimes, yes, you're going to have people who lean on you sometimes and need your support in some things. But then you got to encourage them to be able to hear God for themselves. You know, as a bench, we're not here to tell everyone what God said. Now, we may have things that God says, but we've got to come into an agreement to see those things at work. So there's all sorts of different blueprints which, you know, need different ways of doing it. So we have all these different ministry areas and different things. So we need a bench of three and seven because we are sort of a local ecclesia and we've got different visionary things and different things that we're doing around the world. So we need different spheres to operate that. It's like, as a person and the other two of our bench of three, we could not be managing 12 different ministries and be on all those mountain benches and try and do it all. We couldn't do it. So we've got to trust and empower others to do it. And it takes time. You know, the things I could do in a week sometimes takes other people a year. Now, I used to get so frustrated with that. I said, well, I could have done that a week. And we're still waiting a year later. So what on earth's going on? Yeah, because those people who were assigned to do it would take a year to get ready and prepared to be able to do it. So, okay, that's God's business. If I didn't do something to help them, that's my business. But actually, I've got to trust in the timing and the seasons of things. And because I'm quite capable of doing things, I have to let those things go and not get frustrated the fact that people aren't going to do it the way I did it or as quick as I could do it. And that's a lot of how this sort of things at work. You've got to trust others and empower others and try not to be frustrated when it doesn't quite work the way you would have done it. Now, from the perspective of, you know, I started the church here in 1994 and laid the foundations of it when it started. When we then had a blueprint and a bench of three, I had to totally submit that senior role completely. So I have no more authority than anybody else in that bench, because that's how it works. You know, if I was going to maintain, well, this is my vision, you know, and it's like, well, I have the right to veto this and say this, it would never work. And that's where, when people are strong visionary characters and they have strong visionary gifts, it can be very hard to work in a mutually submitted way, because you feel so strongly about stuff and, well, God gave this to me. Well, he didn't give it to me for me. He gave it to me for everyone else. And therefore, it's got to be submitted. And then it's agreed. Now, we also function that we've got different things that we do, and we don't need to keep checking back on everything. But there's always communication. You've got to be in communication with one another. You've got to be sharing heart with one another. And that's, again, an ongoing process of at work. So lots of things will be done differently. So what experience is desirable for someone who's on a bench of three? Well, God would rather have an amateur in the new than a professional in the old. So, you know, you might have 20 years of being a church leader. That does not give you necessarily the experience you need to do this. In fact, it could be a huge hindrance. It's like I had to let go of so many mindsets and ways of doing things to embrace something new. You know, and it's not easy when you go through that process. But I do think is that desiring a willingness to hear God's voice. If you can't hear God's voice, then it's going to be very difficult to operate heavenly government. You know, you've got to be willing to engage. And we all hear God differently. And we all express that differently, but we've all got to flow from heaven. And I would say, if you're going to be part of heavenly government, you've got to be able to access heaven. Now, how you access heaven is, again, very different. You know, for some, it could be a full-blown Technicolor Hollywood production. And for others, they just sense what's going on. Well, they're equally valid. And we've got to try and get over, it's got to be this full-blown vision. Sometimes people just engage by faith. And actually, if we don't engage by faith, well, actually, what are we doing? You know? So in a sense, it's just like, well, I'm going to trust when we step into heaven, God is going to convey something to me, whether he shows me it, speaks to me, impresses it on my heart, gives me that. That's what counts. That at the end of the day, I'm able to perceive what it is that God is trying to unveil. And we'll all do that differently. And that's where we've got to expect that and not try and pigeon it whole all into one thing. Because we talk about seeing, and I think some people struggle to see visually, so they think they can't really engage. But actually, it isn't necessary about seeing visually. It's about perceiving, which is another way of describing seeing and knowing. So being able to do that is part of being a bench, but you can learn. You know, no one's necessarily going to be an expert at this. In fact, none of us are experts. We're all got our L plates on, and we're all learning as we go. So it's important to be able to see from different heavenly perspectives. So the lion, the ox, the eagle and the man. It's just like some person gets a priestly perspective. Someone gets a kingly perspective. Someone gets a prophetic, apostolic. They're going to receive differently together when we're in agreement and we're a corporation. So it is a governmental role, though. You've got to be able to rule and govern. You know, mercy gift people, redemptively, struggle with this, but that doesn't mean you can't be a part of a bench. It just means that it's not your primary way of operating. We're very different. You know, when it comes to anything calling things together, I just give Lindy the microphone because it's like she's much better at sort of doing that sort of thing than I am, which is great when you know the different things that you're good at. Because you don't have to try and be good at what someone else is good at. You know, it's great. I mean, Nigel's a ruler gift. Well, it's fantastic to have a ruler gift when ruler gift is my third thing. And I had to learn how to do it. It wasn't my natural thing because my gift is sort of prophetic, teachy stuff. So it's great to have people who carry different things within it that can bring a sort of fuller picture of the jigsaw. So when we engage in heaven, it's like getting three different pieces of the jigsaw. And when we put it together, it's like, that's what it looks like. Which is why you need different perspectives as part of a bench. How does a bench get set into place? Well, depends on the situation. It's not a democratic vote. It's a heavenly appointment, but it'll be very different in different situations because people will start in different places. If you haven't got a bench and you form one, that'll be very different if you transition from an old into a new form. Very, very sort of different in that way. Now, I've been involved in these things around the world with lots of different people now, and I know it's quite difficult, but if you're willing to work things through, it will come to resolution, and you'll find what's distinctive and the way it works for you. That's the key, I think. So I would really encourage you to look at the particular issues. In terms of government, do you need total agreement? Yes, but as Lindy described, that can come in different ways. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to say, well, we are all agreement. You can trust each other to be able to do things in that way. But ultimately, it's an issue of heart and trust that's how things work. You know, we have an agreement that we don't do anything unless we're in agreement, but how that agreement gets at work depends on different things, you know. So ultimately, unity is a key, and you need to be one heart, even if you're doing things in a different way. So I would say the development of trust will be outworked through this process, and you'll all get transformed as part of it,
yeah.
Without a doubt. You won't be the same people at the end or during the process that you were at the beginning. And if you're not willing for that, I wouldn't even go there. Because it will be such hard work if you're not prepared to change and be transformed and grow. So anyone seeking earthly recognition or validation of themselves or their identity from being part of a bench of three, that's okay as long as you recognize that and you're willing to work through that. Because we're all in a mixture of stuff. You know, none of us have got totally 100% pure hearts yet, even though it might be our desire. So just because you have a problem doesn't preclude you from being part of a bench, but you will have to deal with that problem because God will inevitably bring situations around that highlight it and bring it to the surface and enable you to function through it and deal with it. So be willing to change, you know, because definitely maturity comes through the process. There's always accountability with any government. You know, it's like, Lindy may do something with complete authority in to do it, but she will always report back. And as the others, same with us. Whatever we do, there's reporting. When we have a bench of 12 meeting, we're looking for 12 benches to share what God is doing, what God's saying, what they're up to, what's happening, because they're part of one blueprint. We may have different roles within the blueprint, but there's still one blueprint. And therefore, there's no independence. There's interdependence. And relationship, and therefore there's bound to be accountability in it, otherwise it isn't the bench. No one's going to go off and do their own thing and not be accountable for what they're doing, because the accountability ultimately is to God, because it's his blueprint and vision that we're outworking. You know, we haven't created it out of nothing. It came out of heaven. It came out of God's heart. It came out of his desire. So I think that's probably enough on that. Again, if you've got any questions, yeah.
You said the bench of tree is like Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, in heaven, yeah.
Yeah, and Jesus obviously said, I see what the Father's doing, and yeah, then I do it. So, and he was doing it with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I don't see, I mean, I can see that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are in total agreement with everything we're doing, but they were not all in the same levels.
Well, you're looking at it for when Jesus was on earth. But Jesus was in heaven before he came to earth. Jesus was in eternity with the Father and the Son and Spirit together before there was an earthly outworking of that. And they are there now, sat at the right hand of the Father. There's a relationship and there's government of agreement in heaven. So we've got to look at it, well, what's going on now? Not just what Jesus was on earth. And when Jesus was on earth, he was obviously living in heaven as well as being on earth, and was heart to heart with the Father. But they had different roles. You know, it's not saying that a bench of three has the same, this is it, we're different. We do things differently, we have different roles, but we are mutually in relationship and submitted to one another. So Jesus was submitted to the Father, but the Father was also submitted to Jesus outworking this on earth, because the Father didn't come and do it. Or he did in Jesus. So there are different things that you do in different roles, but they're still carrying the same level of commitment and government.
Is it like really important to have all three in the same level? Because you were saying that.
No. I think what we're saying is the same level of authority. People will have different levels of experience, different gift abilities, different. Everyone is different. So in our bench, you know, I started sort of engaging in heaven in 2008 into 10, and then I've been looking to help other people. Now everyone's doing it. So I could say I've got more experience, but that actually doesn't give me more authority, because my authority is the same. But I want to be me, so I want to bring my experience into that situation, but I want to receive the experience of others from that situation so we can get an overall picture. Now, in a heavenly perspective, of course, they are one heart mind. So they've always got the same picture. Whereas we're coming to that and trying to find that, because we're a reflection of that. You know, we're not perfect. We won't be perfect at it. We're growing in more maturity in it. So it's not a perfect analogy. No analogies are perfect. So, but the principle is God wants government on earth that reflects the government that's in heaven, and that government is a mutually submitted group of people who are committed to fulfilling God's will and purpose. That makes sense.
So basically, there's no hierarchy.
No.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So in the bench of three, no one can feel, I have a bigger say, I have more, there's an equality that enables the three to govern, because there's no hierarchy in heaven.
No. And to be honest, in our situation, if one of us had a check in our spirit, then we would work that through. Because that might be a check in my spirit because of something in me. And I might not be right. But because we want to be united, then we'll work that through. And then we might ask questions. Well, what's going on? You know, what's the hindrance? Or what's the problem? Or what are you feeling? So you want to sort of come to a mutually agreed situation, but you have to go through reality. And that means at times, therefore, you will see things differently. And actually, I might be seeing it wrong. And I've got to be willing to admit that. And in the process, change the way I think about something, because actually I'm coming into agreement with what God's revealing to the other two, because they may see it right. You know, but that's all part of the process. And if you work it through, then you'll come to, hey, this is where God wants to get us. But actually, he wants us to go through those sort of processes, because they help us to realize that sometimes we have to change and be transformed in it. And that takes time to work things through at times. Yeah. Yep.
If we have the bench of 3, 7 and 12, so is it 3 plus 4 which makes the...
No, not for us, no.
7 is completely different.
Yeah.
So 3 is different than 7.
I mean, whatever the blueprint is will determine what you need. And I'm not saying that everyone needs 3, 7 and 12 because everyone's blueprint might not need that. We needed it because we have a lot of spheres of government or mountains that needed government. Because everything needs government. If it's no government, then there's anarchy, effectively. So you need heavenly government. But we had a particular blueprint that actually needed that. Others don't. It's like you don't need a bench of 7 type of government if you're not really got a physically outwork group of people who are doing that. Or we have, our mountains are not the same as our 7. It's because they're spheres within the whole overall. We'll probably get this will get worked out more clearly probably tomorrow, and I'll do a session later on tonight, or this evening, about, you know, sort of mandates and blueprints, and I'll show you some examples or some pictures just to say, well, everyone looks different.
So again, the 3, 7 and 12
is not 3, 10 plus 2, it's not like that.
The 12 is again completely different.
As we've grown, we've gone through various evolutions of this because our revelation has changed. So when we started, we had a 3 and a 7 and they were different groups of people and they've maintained different groups of people. And sometimes our 7 is 5. Because two people have moved on, or they're, you know, it's just like it's 7, but there may not be, there is 7 at the minute, which is good. And then we have these other spheres, and originally our 3 was part of our 12. But then, because we didn't have 9 other or 12 other mountains at that point, but then God showed us more and more areas where we had authority in. Therefore, each of those areas had a representation. So now we have a 3 and a 12, and the 3 meets with the 12. And we do governmental legislative things and get laws and that type of thing. But that's just us. You know, the patterns are there in heaven, but they're very flexible.
So just to throw a complete spanner in the works, our 3 is part of every other bench. So...
But I'm part of another bench.
There's no pattern.
No. It's doing what God shows you. Nigel is part of another bench. So it's, and Becky is one of our other bench of 3. She's also part of another bench. Now, ultimately, it would be great if we didn't need to be part of multiple benches and we were, but, you know, but we are all part of the government and the legal compliance government within what we do, which is another discussion for tomorrow, I imagine. Okay. Any other questions around that? No. Great. Well, you've got an hour or so to have some lunch or whatever you'd like to do, and we'll come back at 2 o'clock-ish.